ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്രീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശിവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാഥയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യഥപ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാത് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യ അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം ദ്യോത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണികാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭനാ മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതിനാവിനെ नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमती गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वंदे मंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारक वेदं वेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपासमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ओम् श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमदिराधियाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द After Uddhava has heard the few words from Krishna, Uddhava, Sukadeva Goswami says about Uddhava, Uddhava's situation was like this. Ityadishto Bhagavata Mahabhagavato Nrupa. That Mahabhagavatam, who is Mahabhagavatam? Uddhava. Ityadishto Bhagavata. When he heard these words from Krishna, Uddhava pranibhatyaha, immediately he fell down on the ground, prostrated before Krishna. Tattvajityasu rachyudam, with the desire for tattvajityasa. Tattvajityasa came to Uddhava at that point. Tattvajityasa. What does tattvajityasa mean? This is an important word in the Bhagavadam, this tattvajityasa. Tattvajityasa, if you remember, if you have read Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, you will see this word coming frequently at different places. Even in the first canto, if you take, I think it is in the second chapter, the divine and the divinity, or devotional service, that chapter is called. Vedavyasa Maharshi introduces there straight away this word tattvajijnyasa. What does he say? Kamasya indriya pridhar labho jive dayavada. Jivasya tattvajijnyasa nartho yascheha karmabhi. Vedavyasa Maharshi, there Sudha Goswami says actually, he says, Kamasya indriya pridhar. Sense gratification for senses. Labho jive dayavada. What is the profit from that? Why? Jivasya tattvajijnyasa. Human life is meant for tattvajijnyasa. Human life is meant for tattvajijnyasa. Na artham yas cheha karmabhi. Not for accumulating wealth or for engaging in heavy activities. Neither karmam nor artham. Artham and karmam is not the goal of life. So, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, through Sudha Goswami, Vedavyasa has put it there, this tattvajijnyasa. Kamasya indriya pridhar labho jive dayavada jivasya tattvajijnyasa nartho yascheha karmabhim. There is no other goal of life. Tattvajijnyasa is the goal. So that tattvajijnyasa is coming here with Uddhava. Again, in the same chapter you will see, evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattvavijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So this tattvajijnyasa stage is a stage in spiritual life at a very advanced level. very advanced level. Tattvajnyasa comes to a person. It doesn't come very easily to anyone, Tattvajnyasa. So, what does he say there? Evam prasanna manaso. If you look into those verses just before, in the second chapter of the first canto, where Sudha Goswami will say, Shranvadam Sukhada Krishna Punya Shravanagartanam Hridyandastohi Abhadrani Vidhino Risuhadsadam. What will happen is, when you hear about Krishna continuously for a long time, what will happen is, Shranvadam Sukhada Krishna Punya Shravanagartanam, that pure and glorifying activities of Krishna, Hridyandastohi Abhadrani, all the inauspicious things will be taken out from the heart. And Vidhunodi Sukhrit Sadam, then Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavadi Uttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavadi Naishtigi. Constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavadam from realized souls, what will happen is Bhaktir Bhavadi Naishtigi, devotion will develop inside the heart. Then what will happen? then he says that yada rajastatho bhavam kamalo bhadayasthaye chedameder anavidham sthidam sattve prasidati. By developing devotion or Krishna consciousness, in due course the rajasagunam and tamasagunam, these three things will go away from a person's heart. Yadha rajastamo aham kamalobhadeshe. Kamam and lobham are the result of rajogunam tamogunam. In other words, kamam is lust and lobham is greed. So these two things will be taken out. Kamaloba chedamedir anavidham sthidam sattva prasidati. And the consciousness will be in pure goodness. And once it happens, evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogadam. So at that point, prasanna manasa, mind is very peaceful, completely peaceful, no anxieties. Because why? What you have to know, you have known already, understood what is to be understood from Bhagavadam. You have understood what is to be understood. Evam prasanna manaso, prasanna manaso, that means his mind is extremely peaceful, extremely peaceful. So because of that, bhagaval bhakti yogada, because of that pure devotion he has developed inside the heart. And what will happen? Bhagaval tattva vijnanam. After that, Bhagaval Tattva Vijnana comes, knowledge about Krishna. So when does a devotee get to know about Krishna? After all these stages. Up to that time, he has no idea about Krishna. You will see this, Uddhava, after serving Krishna over 112 years, has come to this stage now. He is asking, Tattva Jitnya Asurachuda, Tattva Jitnya has come to Uddhava. Why this is necessary? Why this Tattva Jitnyasa is necessary? Tattva Jitnyasa comes from the purification of the heart. Only at that time Tattva Jitnyasa will come. Otherwise, Tattva Jitnyasa won't develop in a person. You can see, even among the gopis, the pure devotees of Krishna, ultimately Tattva Jitnyasa came to them. That was what in Simanta Panchakam, when Krishna was instructing gopis, it was Tattva Jitnyasa what Krishna was dealing with. Why is it necessary? Because even in a devotee's life, we develop a certain attachment to Krishna. And through our process of sadhana bhakti, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, executing the principles of bhakti, we develop a relationship with Krishna, which could be in any of the forms, shandam, dasyam, sakyam, vatsalyam, madhuryam. In any of the five different forms of relationship, we'll develop with Krishna. But after that, at that point, Krishna decides, when one is mature enough, we still have not understood Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That knowledge is still lacking in us. All the gopis, the same story. Gopis have understood Krishna is a nice lover. They have a tremendous attachment for Krishna. And they have such a love for Krishna that you see, Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutram, when he talks about some best examples of devotees, what does he say? Yatha vraja gobiganam. Just like the gobis of Vrindavanam, he says. Yatha vraja gobiganam. That is the example he has used in Bhakti Sutram. So, Narada Bhakti Sutram, among the greatest devotees, also is depicted in that way. So, you can see, even after reaching that level of devotion, still, we have not understood who Krishna is.
Krishna wants us to understand his actual position, who Krishna is. It is at that time this Tattva Jijnasa comes. Want to understand who is Krishna? Up to that time, gopis thought Krishna is our beloved lover. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai thought Krishna is our beloved son. Isn't it? They all were thinking like that. But nobody thought Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they can't even visualize that, a Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's a very difficult thing to perceive, isn't it? We don't even know this planet very well. What to talk about this whole creation? This planet, millions of planets and millions of universes coming, going from Mahavishnu's body, and above that, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is inconceivable for an ordinary person, even after developing pure devotion in the heart. So it is, that's why Prabhupada said many instances, nobody understands Krishna. Many people understand something about Krishna. But understand Krishna is not an easy thing. So that understanding has to be given to these pure devotees, which Krishna does. At a certain time, when it is fully ripe and mature in their spiritual life. It is at that time that this understanding, who I am, who Krishna is, that understanding comes to the devotee. That is why it is said here, that Tattva Jityasu Rachudam, that Tattva Jityasa came to Uddhava, and Uddhava started trying to understand who Krishna is. You can imagine this very well, isn't it? That it is not possible to understand Krishna. Now we see Krishna, we come to the temple, we see the deity form, we understand from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken, and some perception in our head about Krishna we have. Some perception. We celebrate the festival thinking that, it's auspicious day. Because somebody has told us to celebrate, we are celebrating. We have not met Krishna. Krishna has come 5,000 years ago and gone. And whatever information we have is from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken. So many things we have heard about Krishna. From so many devotees' faces we have heard about Krishna. In so many temples we have seen Krishna being worshipped. But who is Krishna? That question mark still remains, isn't it? And that is where understanding has not completely come to our mind, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That understanding is still missing in the devotee's heart. So at that point, Krishna knows that this devotee should know who I am. And he reveals himself to him, not through the universal form, not through any other means, by sitting inside the heart of devotee, give that understanding to him and to see Krishna as the Supreme Truth, as the Absolute Truth. Up to that time, that's why in the beginning of Bhagavatam, if you look in the first verse itself, in two ways you can understand this. The last word is, in the first verse is, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, ultimate truth, we pay our respectful obeisances to him. Isn't it? Satyam Param Dhimahi. Param Satyam Dhimahi is also truth. Param Satyam is there, to that we pay our obeisances. Whatever it is, the Absolute Truth, Krishna, we don't understand as Absolute Truth. We understand him as Nanda Maharaj's son, or Vasudeva's or Devaki's son, or the lover of Radharani, or in some other way, friend of Sudama, or the friend of the gopis, or the friend of the cowherd boys. So many things we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna. But that does not completely give us the understanding, or we don't realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That realization has to come only when Krishna gives it to us. And that's what is being discussed here. That Uddhava wanted to know Tattva Jijnasa Rachidam. What is Krishna? The Tattva behind it. So here you will notice that this can only happen when one is completely purified. Purified condition of consciousness. Purified state of consciousness only this can be understood. Otherwise not. Therefore, Uddhava is now qualified and to instruct, to receive those instruction. Uddhava wants to know the Tattva, so Uddhava said like this. And in ordinary conditioned souls like us, we will not have that desire for Tattvam to know. Tattva Shraddha. Shraddha in Tattva Jnanam or knowledge of Tattvam will not be there in us. Why? Because we identify with the body, our problems are all related to the body, our problems are related to the life in this world. But one who has tattva-jijnyasa, he has no concern about this world. His concern is related to what happens after death. After death. In other words, he is already aware of his surubam. Surubam means his own personal identity is revealed to him at that point. Uddhava, when he realized his pure identity, what he is and what Krishna is, then you have seen Uddhava's reaction to that. We talked about it before, isn't it? How Uddhava reacted when he realized who he is and when he realized who Krishna is, isn't it? So that we have seen in the third canto before. So from here, when Uddhava took that position, Krishna had to accept, take that position as the spiritual master. So this relationship you will see there between Krishna and Uddhava as the ideal relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. You can also notice here that if a spiritual master is giving instruction to a devotee or to a disciple, what state of consciousness he should be. This is also clear. Krishna is saying here that that the person who is giving instructions, he should be a realized soul. In the Bhagavad Gita also you can see that. Udara sarva evaide jnani twalpeiva me madam, Krishna says there. That jnani or a realized soul, he is not different than me, Krishna says. In other words, only if instructions are given by a personality like that, udara sarva evaide jnani twalpeiva me madam, astita sahyuktaatma swamevan uttamam gadim, then there is no question. A personality who is in that level or realization, Yani Twalpeiva Maimadam, he is not different than me, Krishna says. That person or guru or spiritual master who is instructing his disciple and who is a realized soul, that person is not different than me. In other words, if you are getting instructed from such a personality, you can take it that you are being instructed by Krishna. That's the most important point. Udara sarva evaida jnani twalpeiva me matam. That is my opinion, Krishna says there. And at the same time, that only then the disciple also will be able to react like the way Uddhava has reacted to that. And the disciple should also be in the level like Uddhava. Uddhava's consciousness, Uddhava's purity, Uddhava's realizations is necessary to be a disciple for a guru like that. So you can see there, from this Ekadasha Skandam is mainly to teach us this relationship between guru and disciple, which is a very, very important thing in spiritual life. And when we don't understand that, we speculate about it and we draw all false conclusions about it. So in order that these things don't happen in this world, Krishna took the position of a spiritual master and instructed his disciple Uddhava in the appropriate way, so that those who come afterwards, after Krishna and Uddhava has left this world, they will know the gravity or the seriousness of this relationship between spiritual master and the disciple. What is expected from a spiritual master, what is expected from a disciple. Both are important. For spiritual master side is important, the disciple side is also important. And if this relationship between the two are proper, then the result must be there. This is the guarantee Krishna is giving. The result has to be there. When we are mourning all the time, I didn't, this happened, that happened in my life, my spiritual life is gone, the whole problem is come from there. The origin is here. Then the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, if it is properly understood, and if it has happened, the relationship has established properly, the spiritual life must go well. There is no question about that. Let's see how it develops. You can see from now on how this development happens. That only that disciple who has developed that maturity and the proper understanding of the Guru Tattva or the principle of spiritual master, only such a person will understand Krishna consciousness, will understand the, will make the progress in spiritual life. Only for him, the instructions from the spiritual master will be effective. That is the most important thing. Only such a person will be, it will be effective for him. There's a lot talked about it later. We'll come to that later again and again, because this is such an important topic in spiritual life. This relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. So, what does Uddhava say now? Shri Uddhava Uvacha. യോഗേശ യോഗവിന്യാസ യോഗാത്മാ യോഗസംഭവം നിശ്രേയസായ മേ പ്രോക്ത ത്യാഗം സന്യാസ ലക്ഷണം. ഉദ്ധവാസ് ഫസ്റ്റ് റിയാക്ഷൻ ടു കൃഷ്ണസ് വേർഡ്സ്. സി ഹൗ ഉദ്ധവ ഈസ് അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ. യോഗേശ യോഗവിന്യാസ യോഗാത്മ യോഗസംഭവ, ഫോർ ഡിഫറന്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹി ഹാസ് യൂസ്ഡ്. Four different words addressing Krishna. Yogesha yoga vinyasa yoga alpa yoga sambhava. All the words are independent and all of them have very deeper meanings behind it. Yogesha yoga vinyasa, let's go through each word. Yogesha, yogesha means one who is in charge of all the yoga processes. In other words, he is the controller of yoga. Isha of yoga. In other words, he is the controller of all yoga systems. There is no, you see, this process of going back to the spiritual world, back to Krishna, who gave us that understanding? Krishna gave us that understanding, isn't it? Krishna developed these yoga systems also, isn't it? Krishna is the original preceptor or the principal spiritual master. Well, Krishna is the origin of all the yogic processes. Whether it is Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Purvamimamsa, Uttaramimamsa, anything, doesn't matter. All different kinds of processes that has come into existence in different times in the history, that's all has come from Krishna. Sometimes Krishna spoke directly, sometimes Krishna put it through different sages to this world. Different sages through to this world. That you will see, if you study the history, you will know who spoke which yoga system. We will not go into that deeply now because we don't have so much time. But important thing to know here is that all the yoga system or this whole process of self-realization or spiritual realization, that principle and the process, everything, the origin is Krishna. If Krishna hasn't spoken, we would know about it. We'll still be continuing with our sense gratification in this world, thinking that this is the end of life, gratifying senses is the goal of life, and when we die, we don't know where we are going, we are not bothered, we'll die and go get another body. But in order to enlighten the conditioned souls and those who are suffering in the material world, Krishna gave us this special offer, facility of different yoga systems. Therefore, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Raja Yogam, Hatha Yogam, Ashtanga Yogam, Dhyana Yogam, so many yoga systems all come from Krishna. Origin is Krishna. But through different sages, it came out in different forms at different times. But whatever it is, important thing is Yogesha. Krishna is Yogesha. Then, what's the next one? Yoga Vinyasa. Yoga Vinyasa. Yoga Vinyasa means knowing well different people. See, everyone, he has not got the same mind, isn't it? All of us have got different mentality. According to our nature, we have developed different attitude in life. Some people do not have much attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. They will be more attracted to doing a lot of work or service or something like that. So such people, for them Srimad Bhagavatam is not very relishable. They do not find attractive. Somebody else, they are more attracted to the jnanam, the knowledge side of it. So somebody is attracted to jnanam, somebody is attracted to karmam, somebody is attracted to bhakti. Everyone is different. That Krishna will talk about it. How these differences have developed in different persons. We'll come to that later. At that time we'll say why it has happened like that. So jnanam, karmam, bhakti, mainly the three major yoga systems, they have been created by Krishna. Krishna made those divisions. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. That is called yoga vinyasam. Yoga vinyasam is nothing but Krishna has categorized the yoga system. Originally there is only one yoga system. That yoga system, depending on the person, depending on the individual, in order for them to differentiate, in order for them to develop according to their taste, these three major yoga systems were developed. Which one? Jnanam, karmam and bhakti. Jnana yogam, karma yogam and bhakti yogi. In Krishna's eyes, in different times in life, one will be qualified for different things. That is also there. It is not like any other religious processes. One process for everyone in this world. It doesn't make sense because a boy who is 18 or 20 years old and a man who is 65 or 70 years old, for them, both of them cannot follow the same process. It wouldn't make any sense at all, because they are in two different stages in life. So, just like you saw, Arjuna is in one stage, Uddhava is in another stage. So, naturally, they require different medicines, isn't it? They require different medicines. That's why what you find here, three different processes, Jnanam, Karma, Bhakti, Krishna is created according to the need of the person. So, this is only in the Vedic philosophy that you have so much of options. To depending on your mind, how you can advance spiritually. This is the beauty of Vedic philosophy, that it gives you an opportunity. It is not telling you, oh, this is the only way. There is no other way you can come to Krishna. Or this is the only way to realize the self. No, the sages are very broad in their thinking. They had such a deeper understanding of the human psychology and human nature, then they realized it, that everyone is at different points in their spiritual life, in their life, in this world. So accordingly, they should be instructed. One who is attached to the results of one's work, for him, Karma Yoga is recommended. One who is completely detached from this world, simply looking and genuine and seriously inquiring, for him, Jnana Yoga is recommended. And one is neither this nor that, got a lot of attachment, at the same time there is an understanding that this is not everything in life. For them, Bhakti Yoga is recommended. Those verses will come later. So what is important thing is that Yoga Vinyasam, this is necessary. So Krishna has done that, Yoga Vinyasam. Yoga Esha Yoga Vinyasa, then Yoga Alma, Yoga Alma, another important word. A person who is desiring to free himself from this material existence and who has taken to one of these yogic processes and intensely pursuing that path, that person requires help from inside. That person requires help from inside, isn't it? Because he is progressing well spiritually, but at the same time, somebody has to help him from inside the heart, and that is Yoga Alma, Andaryami. He's referred to, another word is Andaryami, or in other words, it's called a super soul. He sits inside and is guiding him through in his daily life. He is giving the impetus to him to practice spiritual life. He is encouraging him to go here, don't go there, associate with these people, don't associate with that people. Do it this way, don't do it that way. At every step in life, you need that guidance and direction, isn't it? Because otherwise, what will happen? Suppose you don't get instructed properly by Krishna, what will happen? You'll be driven by the crowd. The crowd will tell you. You will take all false authorities as authorities, and they will mislead you to hell. That also will happen. So, therefore, someone from inside has to tell you. Some discrimination is necessary at that point to tell you that this is important in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not simply sheep life. Sheeps are like that, isn't it? You just bang them this side, they'll go that direction. If you bang them that side, they'll go this direction. That is not how spiritual life is. All this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is for us to think through and develop that understanding of Krishna consciousness. Yoga esha yoga vinyasa, yoga alma, yoga alma, yoga alma, he is a yoga alma. Or in other words, if he is not guiding you from inside, you can commit many, many blunders in spiritual life. Many, many blunders in spiritual life. You can forget the goal and get victimized by many of the illusions of this world. Many of the illusions of this world. Maya can capture straight away. And you will misunderstand that you are in spiritual life. You are in spiritual life. So, who avoids all that? Yoga Alma. Krishna inside guiding the person as Yoga Alma. Then finally, Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying, Yoga Sambhavaha. Yoga Sambhava. Yoga Sambhava means one who eventually, who has executed everything and who followed that path seriously, whom the result is given. By whom? Krishna. Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Alpa, Yoga Sambhava. So all the four different words. What Uddhava has used here is appropriately describing Krishna's position. How important it is, Krishna, in our spiritual life is. That's what it is showing. You can't separate yourself from Krishna. At every stage, Yogesha, Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Atma, Yoga Sambhava, at every stage, Krishna is executing the job for us. We just have to go through Krishna's instructions. That's all we have to do. That is our duty. Instead of keeping Krishna separately and speculating from our mind, thinking that this is right and that is wrong, then we are going to be in trouble. In order to avoid that, Uddhava, in the very beginning itself, is saying that throughout the yoga process, whatever yoga process it may be, without Krishna's presence and Krishna's direction, that yoga system will not work. So, what else he said? Nishrayasayame prokta tyagam sanyasa lakshanaha. That's an important thing. Uddhava says to Krishna, it's very good what you have told us. Whatever you have said is just sacrificing everything, isn't it? Tyagam. Tyagam means what? To sacrifice everything for Krishna. And this is the most important step in spiritual life. First thing, those who are serious about spiritual life, this is the most important step. Tyagam sanyasa lakshanam. So Krishna says, because in the Upanishads also this statement will come, neither by having children, nor by having wealth, nor by activities, one can go back to Krishna. None of these things will help. Only by tyagam, by sacrifice. Because yoga means what? Sacrificing everything for Krishna's sake. Sacrificing our life, material happiness, and material opulences, material comforts. Everything, sacrificing every stage for Krishna's pleasure, to get Krishna. That is why it's important. So, tyagam, sanyasa lakshanam. So, whatever you have spoken, he says here, nishrayasayame proktam. What you have spoken here is nishrayasam. Nishrayasam means, what is my ultimate benefit? For which you have spoken all these things? Ultimate benefit means what? Liberation. For the sake of liberation, what you have spoken, Uddhava says to Krishna, is nothing but about sacrificing things, isn't it? Is that not sannyasam? He says to Krishna. You see, Uddhava, because he is intelligent, remember, Rushninam pravaro mandri krishnasya daidasaha shishyo brihaspade sakshal uddhavo buddhisatama. Uddhava is a very intelligent person. So, Krishna never mentioned the word sannyasam here. But simply by hearing the qualifications, what Krishna spoke, Arjuna understood what he is talking about. He's talking about sannyasam. Is it not? He says to Krishna. That is the beauty in these words. That without mentioning the word sannyasam, Krishna spoke about sannyasam. Without mentioning the word. And without talking about anything, Arjuna captured the point also. Arjuna got it. He got the point. What Krishna was bringing him to. Nishrayasayame proktam tyagam sanyasa lakshanam. Sanyasa lakshanam. Then why you are saying like this is that sannyasam is not something based on dress. I have to repeat this again and again because a lot of misunderstanding in the society. What is sannyasam? People think that sannyasam is dandam, water pot, and a few disciples with him, or that stay in a few days in one temple, move to the next temple after that, fly all over the world. All this is there, but they are not actually the typical definition of sannyasam. Sannyasi's definition, according to Krishna, that's all I'm saying, according to Krishna, is sannyasi's position is that he is completely fixed up in Krishna. He has no other business in this world. Later on you will see so many things talked about sannyasis. So many things he says there. That what sannyasi should not do under all circumstances. He says there. And when you read all through that, and when you see the modern world and the type of sannyasams, what goes on in this world today, one gets confused. Then you may ask the question, why is it like that? Obviously, so much deviations does happen in this world. So this is also, such deviations do happen, that you cannot help. That's the nature of this world. But important thing is to know what a sannyasam means. And Krishna's definition of sannyasam and sannyasa lakshanam in two chapters he discusses later in Ekadasha Skandam. Just like in the seventh canto, when Prahlad Maharaj asked that, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke about that. If you read all that, you'll be clear in your head what sannyasam means. Sannyasam is not dress. Dress is only an external thing. It is that inside consciousness of the sannyasi that's more important. So, Nishreyasayame proktam kyagam sannyasa lakshanam. Sannyasa lakshanam has been spoken by you now. Is it not sannyasam, he said. So, at that point, then, sannyasi's way of executing his duties. Sannyasi's way of relating with this world. Sannyasi's life in this world. Sannyasi's attachment to this world. All these are subject to serious scrutiny. Serious scrutiny. Otherwise, it will misunderstand. People will misunderstand in different ways. Therefore, in the past, in the olden days, taking sannyasam was considered to be very, very mature stage one took it. Many of the great personalities, unless they were extremely powerful, extremely renounced, the tendency was not to take to sannyas straight away. They used to wait till they were very, very old. And after having lived through a life in this world, attained sufficient maturity and understanding and control of the mind, which is the most important thing, only after that they took sannyas. Even now, some of the great sannyasis and some of the great mutts, they are only given sannyasam just before leaving the body. A few months or few days before that, they are offered sannyasam, just as a token of their recognition of the service. Up to that time, either they remain as brahmachari, or if they got married and lived as householder, they'll remain as householder. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you accept sannyasam, and then if you are not, you have not understood sannyasam properly, and if you make mistakes and fall down, it is a very bad thing. It's a bad in the sense that it is considered in the Shastram that best thing is to commit suicide after that, to kill yourself. So it is that bad. Because to fall down and to maintain the consciousness of sannyasam is not easy. Unfortunately, because we don't understand the sannyasi's situation, so many allurements, attractions in this world, followers, money, fame, then apart from that, all the other gross sense gratification, eating, sex life, mating, all kinds of desires can come and disturb a person. And in order to be free from that, it's not going to be very easy. Because while living in this world, and with the vasanas what we have brought from previous life, you can't check that in 1 minute or in a day. Suddenly you went and heard somebody talking about renunciation. After hearing about it, he said, oh, I am the right person, straight away went and took sannyas. And it will only last a few days till that heat goes down from inside. So that's why it is spoken like this, that sannyasa ashram and its importance is stressed very seriously in the Shastram, that unless one has developed that strength inside and the control of the mind particularly, so many things attributed to that, if it's not developed, then he should not enter into sannyasa ashram. That was the instruction from Krishna. So anyway, here, Nishreyasayame proktam tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. When Arjuna says this to Krishna, Uddhava says this to Krishna, Krishna, and also Uddhava wanted to say something more about that. What did Uddhava say? Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam shayalmabhi sadaram toi sarvalman abhaktai iti me mati. Very important words. Uddhava is saying, this sannyasam what you are talking about is a very, very difficult thing. Uddhava is saying this. Imagine. So, what Uddhava has understood properly. That's why he was able to say this. So, he says here, the next word itself is, Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman. This kind of renunciation, detachment, what Krishna is expecting from us, is very, very difficult. Uddhava says that. It is not, if Uddhava is saying this, who had Krishna's association with 112 years constantly with Krishna. Constantly with Krishna, taking instructions from Krishna, and as a friend live together. I'm sure 112 years is enough to understand something about Krishna consciousness, isn't it? I'm sure something must have gone into Uddhava's head. And that Uddhava is saying here, it is difficult. Sannyasa ashram is difficult. Imagine that. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmavi. Especially for those who have attachment to sense enjoyment. Especially for those who have attachment to sense enjoyment. And because this tyagam or sacrifice is not an easy thing, is it? Is it an easy thing? How prepared are we to sacrifice it for Krishna, anything? Nobody is willing to sacrifice anything for Krishna. We may say so many things. Or externally we'll present ourselves as very renounced. And I've given up this for Krishna, that for Krishna. What have I given up? Nothing has been given up. It's all just words. What Krishna... Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman. That's why Uddhava is saying here. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman. Because in our long span of life in this world, many years, when we have got addicted to different kinds of sense gratification, number one, and the amount of vasanas which you have brought with us from previous lifetimes, they are all very strongly within us. It is better to recognize that. If we start thinking that, oh, I've got rid of all that, it is not gone. It is not something you can get rid of easily. That's why he's saying here that this sacrifice is very, very difficult. But to take to sense gratification is very easy. Isn't it? That is called bhogam. Bhogam means sense gratification. Tyaga means sacrificing sense gratification. So, bhogam is very easy. Tyagam is very difficult. That's what Uddhava is saying. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmavi. And why is he saying like that? For example, imagine our own life. We look at our own life and see how our habits are so strong in us. Our habits are so strong in us. And even if somebody tells us to give up something, how prepared are we to give it up? How prepared are we to give it up? Due to attachment to the body so strongly in us, which is inherent not only from this lifetime, but due to the vasanas from previous lifetimes, we find it very, very difficult to give up any little sense gratification. How much we have to struggle to give it up, isn't it? A lot of struggle we have to go through to give it up. And therefore, tyagam is more difficult, whereas bhogam is much more easier. Once it so happened that somebody said that, I will not watch television anymore. He wanted to give up watching television. He realized that television is nonsense. It is just nothing but completely wasting time and introduces various filth into the mind and develop unnecessary different desires inside or contaminate the mind and make you to fall down from your spiritual realizations. So somebody said that I've decided to give up watching television. Tried it for a few days, but then some important program came on the television. Without knowing anything, he gets up from his seat. And without he being telling any, the hands goes to the remote. And without anyone saying, it starts pressing. So what does it show? What is it showing? It's showing, Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman. It is not easy to give it up. Did the television come and catch you? Come to me. Did the television call you? No. Television didn't call you. Television is dead thing. It's sitting there. But what did we do first? What did we do? We said in the usual way, oh, I would like to make some friendship with you. Shook hands. Glad to meet you. From now on, we'll be friends. Television didn't do anything to us. We went and made the relationship with television. Every sense gratification in this world is like that. We initiate ourselves first. And then later on we say, I am hooked. I can't get out of it now. Is that not true or not? Every single thing if you take in this world, it is like that. You cannot, they didn't come to you. They didn't come and tell you, look, come and enjoy me. Come and watch the program. This program is going on. The television didn't tell you. You introduced yourself to went and met the television, introduced yourself, I'm so and so, and then on the relationship started, developed from that. And similarly, other things also, different people have different, chocolate eating, for example, another thing, in the same way. Cadbury's didn't come and tell you, come on, I've got it in the market, come and meet me there. No, Cadbury didn't do. He sat in Birmingham and manufactured Cadbury's and sent to all the Sainsbury's and Tesco's and Asda's in the country. We went there, introduced, heard, saw in the television helped to understand Cadbury, and we picked up, Cadbury's told us, we are in different dresses here sitting, pick up whichever you want. And so we also developed a relationship with Mr. Chocolate and become an integral part of our life. It is how it has happened. He didn't come and put any pressure on you. So every sense gratification in this world, if you think about it, it is like that. Once it so happened, a few people were standing on a river bank. Two or three of them were standing there. Suddenly in the flow of water, A blanket was floating. So one person jumped into the water without saying anything, thinking that I'll get that blanket. It looks like a very nice blanket. He jumped into the water and managed to get to the blanket and caught hold of the blanket. And then after getting hold of the blanket, he wanted to come back. And he couldn't come back. He was going down, up and down in the water. He was not able to leave the blanket and come back. And he started crying from there, please help me, please help me. He was telling those people who were standing in the river bank. So these people were telling him, look, who asked you to go and jump into the water like this? Why don't you leave it and come back here? What are you doing there? You yourself jump. He says, I left it, but that's not leaving me now. Why? It was a bear. You see? It was a bear that has caught him. Now the bear is not leaving him. He thought it was a blanket because of the the whole thing, the blanket, it looked like a blanket to him. He thought, let me get this nice blanket. So even if he left it, the bear was not leaving him. All sense gratification, remember, is like that. Every sense gratification is like that. We need it because we go and ourselves take to it. And then later on, they catch us and we are stuck there. That's what Krishna, the Uddhava is mentioning here. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmabhi. Vishayatmabhi, one who has addicted to sense gratification, how can he give up all these things? Krishna is talking on behalf of us. That how will they be able to give up all these things? Why? Sudaram tvai sarvatma abhaktai itimemadim. That it is very difficult because Sudaram Toi Sarvatman Abhaktai Ritime Mati. Unless one has very high devotion to you, Krishna, to Krishna's lotus feet, unless one has very high level of devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, it is not possible to do it. In other words, if there is proper bhakti in a person's heart, vairagyam is possible. Otherwise it's not possible. That is the point Uddhava is making here. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmabhi sudaram toi sarvatman abhaktai ritime mati. That is my opinion, Krishna is saying here. Because those who do not have bhakti, those who do not have devotion, for them giving up is very difficult. Why is it like that? Because for them, this is the only happiness in this world, the sense gratification, isn't it? A little bit of happiness from eating, little bit of happiness from watching films on the television, or watching a nice program, or music, pop music is called papa music, sinful music, that kind of music. These are the kind of things that is keeping him going in this world. You are going and telling him, look, give up all these things. How can you do it? It's not possible. Why? Unless he has found something highly enjoyable, which is devotion, Krishna consciousness. Unless he has found that, he won't be able to give it up. This is what Uddhava is saying. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmabhi. One who has not given up this vishayatmabhi. He cannot give up vishayam. He cannot give up sense gratification unless he has developed devotion for you. And those who have not developed for devotion, for them it is not possible to give up anything. It is not possible to give up anything. The reason is this, that to accept things in this world is very easy. To accept things, isn't it? To accept things in this world is very easy. But to reject things is very difficult. Reject things is very difficult. That is the secret of spiritual life. When one is able to stand and say, I don't need this, I can live without that, he is making spiritual progress. On the other hand, if he is accepting everything from the society, from the world outside, from everyone else, everything, and saying that, oh, I need this, I enjoy this, it has come to me, and Krishna has arranged it for me, and make an excuse like that, that is not spiritual life. That is not sign of vairagyam. That rejection is more advanced realization than acceptance. That's one important point. Tyagam is on a higher level than bhogam. Bhogam is available among the lower species also. Tyagam is only for the human species, advanced human society. That's the point he's making here. That acceptance is easier, rejection, giving up is more difficult. Giving up is more difficult. Tyagoyam duskaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmavi sudaram dvai sarvatman abhaktairiti me madi. This was spoken before also, if you remember, when the Navayogi spoke. Kavi Maharshi spoke about this, isn't it? What did Kavi Maharshi say? Kavi Maharshi says that those who have got devotion, they will have virakti. Virakti means renunciation will come to them in a natural way. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. That means from bhakti, from devotion comes virakti. Virakti means detachment from this world. And it is only after that bhagavat prabhodam will come. So in order to have virakti, this kind of detachment in our consciousness, in our mind, bhakti is required. When there is a proper bhakti, you can see that the virakti will also be there. Detachment will be there. Bhaktir, viraktir, then what will happen? Bhagaval prabhodaha. Bhagaval prabhodam. Bhagaval prabhodam means, we have seen before, Bhagaval prabhodam means proper Krishna consciousness. In other words, understanding of Krishna will come to such a person. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. This is what the science of bhakti is saying. The science of bhakti. Unfortunately, often we try to understand bhakti from our mental platform. You cannot understand bhakti in that way. Bhakti has a certain procedures laid down by the great authorities on bhakti process. For example, Narada Bhakti Sutram. Sri Narada Maharshi wrote only for this purpose, in order to give us some. Like Jnanis have got Brahma Sutram. In the same way, the Bhakti Sutram was written by Sri Narada Maharshi in order to instruct us what is devotion means. And if you study Narada Bhakti Sutram properly, you will understand the science of bhakti. What does bhakti means actually? Otherwise, we will never understand bhakti. We will misunderstand so many things. That's why it is spoken like this. So there, in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, there are totally something like 55 sutras in there. Very, very powerful sutras. All explained very well. And here, Krishna is saying here, when Uddhava spoke to Krishna about this, the Krishna's response to that was Uddhava was saying that those who are attached to sense gratification, the only happiness they have got is this sense gratification in this world. And it is not easy for them to give up that sense gratification, and if you tell them to give it up, they won't be able to give it up. So therefore Uddhava is saying like this, that, and therefore now you should see what Uddhava says after this. Soham mamaham idi very, very difficult verses. Soham mamahamidi mudamadhir vigadaha tvanmayaya virajidalmani sanubandhem tatvanjasa nigadidam bhavadayadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anushadhibhrityam. Soham mamahamidi mudamadhir vigadaha tvanmayaya virajidalmani sanubandhem. Uddhava saying to Krishna, he is not saying I am a devotee. He says, I am soham mamaham aham iti mudha. I am a mudha, I am such a stupid person, Uddhava is saying. Why? Because I am living under this concept of aham and me and mine. Aham mamedi, isn't it? Me and mine. I am living in that concept, he says. I am living in that concept. And such a fool I am, or stupid I am, mudha. He is not saying I am a devotee. Uddhava is not saying. Normally, devotees who have understood what is devotion, they will not say they are devotees. They will not never say they are devotees. Because they know what a devotee means. Those who do not know what is our concept of devotion is different, but that's another thing. But from here you can understand Uddhava, who is one of Krishna's closest disciple and a devotee, he is saying to Krishna, Soham mamahamidi mudhamadir vikadaha, that me who is so stupid, an idiot or stupid or whatever you like to call, mudha, who has got this concept of aham and mamedi, me and mine. Why? Tvanmayaya virajidalmani sanubandhe. Because I know very well, Uddhava says, I am completely under the clutches of maya, which has been created by you. Tvanmayaya virajidalmani sanubandhe. Tvanmayaya virajidalmani sanubandhe. I am bound by that maya. Uddhava is acknowledging here. Uddhava is acknowledging here, that is Uddhava's special personality here, that he is willing to, in spite of the fact that he was so close to Krishna. See, look at Uddhava's humility there. Such a great soul, who was the closest, Uddhava's, as I mentioned so many times before, how does Krishna see Uddhava? Krishna sees Uddhava, he says, Tvam tu bhagavate shvaham. Among devotees, I am Uddhava. Is there a higher certificate than that you can get from Krishna? Among all my devotees, I am Uddhava. Krishna says, Tvam tu bhagavate shvaham. He says. In another instance, what does he say? He says, Nodhavo navi manyunam. There is absolutely no difference between me and Uddhava. Krishna says, isn't it? That's another instance. And in a third instance, what does Krishna says? Krishna says to Uddhava, in another point you will see in the 14th chapter in Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there, 13th or 14th chapter somewhere, Krishna says there, Lord Brahma is not dear to me. Lord Shiva is not dear to me. Lord Shiva is not dear to me. Rukmini Devi or Mahalakshmi is not dear to me. Mahalakshmi is not dear to me. Lord Balaram is not dear to me. You are dearer to me than all of them. You see? You are dearer to me than all these great souls. Lord Balaram, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Rukmini Devi, Mahalakshmi. So, this certificate Uddhava has received from Krishna, isn't it? Uddhava has received this. You can't expect anyone else who have got this certificate from Krishna. And this Uddhava, see how he is relating with Krishna. Even after reaching that level of Krishna consciousness, Uddhava is still saying to Krishna, Soham mamahamidi mudhamadir vikhadaha tvanmayaya virajit almani sanubhande. A pure devotee's relationship is like that. Pure. Pure means so purified inside. He is seeing now who is Krishna. That is why he is able to say like that. He is able to say like that. That he is saying to Krishna, that without this, tatvanjasa nikatidam bhavada yadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anushadi pratyam. Tatvanjasa nikatidam, tatvanjasa nikatidam bhavada yadaham. That now I am in this situation thinking me and mine, controlled by your maya, and I am so stupid that I don't understand anything. Please instruct me in such a way that I will understand you. I will understand you who you are. That is the intelligent question from Uddhava. This is the most intelligent question from Uddhava. She is saying here, tatvanjasa nikatidam bhavada yadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anishadhivrityam. Instruct him in such a way that I can understand you properly. This is what Uddhava is saying here to Krishna. Now, think about this the same way how Arjuna approached Krishna. Isn't it? Because that is also important. How Arjuna approached Krishna. If you remember how Arjuna approached Krishna. Karpanya dosha bhagada swabhava prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaham. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember this verse, karpanya dosha bhakrda svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaham. That I am a miser, Uddhava, Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, that miserliness has come to me. That has stolen my intelligence, and therefore I am completely confused, bewildered. That's the word he used. I am completely bewildered. Dharma sammoda chedaham. I do not know what to do. I do not know what to do. This is my situation. So, you will notice one thing in common to Arjuna and Uddhava here, that both of them approached Krishna with a crisis in their heart, that they have analyzed life, they have studied everything, and they have got a crisis in their heart. And that crisis, and they know that only Krishna can solve that crisis in their heart. This is exactly the mood expected from a disciple when he approaches a spiritual master. This is what that he is teaching us. In order to teach us, all these things have been explained in detail. Otherwise, why do we have to know what Uddhava has told Krishna and Krishna has told Uddhava at that time? We don't have to know all that things. But in order to us to understand that before we take to spiritual life, there is a lot of preparation necessary. There is a lot of preparation necessary. And that is what is spoken in these verses. Through Uddhava and through Arjuna, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us, look, spiritual life is not a child's game. It is a very, very, very serious business. And in order to move in that direction and to have the results to come from that, one has to follow certain principles, and that has been recommended by the great acharyas and the great personalities in the different traditions. And time immemorial, these traditions have survived because of their insistence on this. And those who have taken those instructions seriously and those who have practiced them, they have succeeded also. And those who have not taken them seriously or those who have not understood them and took it in a very casual way, they also ended up with the same results, what they have got otherwise. So this is the important point here. Though here, Arjuna, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Soham mamahamadi mudhamadir vighadam tvanmayaya virajidalpani sanubhandhe. That your maya has completely controlling me. In other words, first thing is to recognize that we are in maya. Even that basic recognition we don't have, do we? We don't have that even basic recognition. Somebody was asking this question, that I thought that I'm not in maya, was saying. Just thinking that she was doing something, activities in spiritual life. So she thought because I was doing it, that I'm not in maya. That was their logic. But because people do not read Srimad Bhagavatam properly, and they don't give enough time to understand Bhagavatam, they themselves get thrown into all kinds of difficult situations. If you look into Bhagavatam, you can see virtually in every canto, in several chapters, this word Maya keeps repeating. Isn't it? How many people read Srimad Bhagavatam daily in this room now? How many people read Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis? How many? On a daily basis. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam daily, you will find there this word Maya popping up all the time. Have you noticed that? In certain places. You may not know why it is spoken there. Why Maya has been spoken there. Take for example, let's start in the first canto itself. In the first canto, before Vedavyasa Maharshi started writing Bhagavatam, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihido Male Apashyal Purusham Purvam Mayam Chatadubashrayam. That is how Bhagavatam first canto, third or fourth chapter, it comes. Maya. What did he see there? You see that Vedavyasa Maharshi has not started writing Bhagavatam yet. When he sat down in his meditations, he saw Krishna standing there and an energy of Krishna, which is called Maya, standing there, covering Krishna from us. That's what it said. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihito Mali. Purified consciousness, Vedavyas. What does he say? Apashyal Purusham Purvam. He couldn't see Krishna. Why? Mayam Chatadubashrayam. He was seeing Krishna. Vedavyas was seeing Krishna. But he saw Maya standing next to him and covering Krishna from the vision of others. Others could not see Krishna. Why? Maya was standing there as a screen, covering Krishna from others. Others could not see Krishna. If you have understood this one verse, you should always remember that we are not able to see Krishna because we are in Maya. That is the understanding from that verse. It has to begin from there. We have to begin from there because that is only in the first canto, third chapter, I think it comes there. So from then on, if you keep reading Bhagavatam daily, you will find this word Maya coming up every now and then. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this word Maya. Vedavyasa Maharshi, because it is such a difficult concept, this Maya, he has to put it through different phases, in different times, in different ways, so that we understand what Maya is. When we don't understand Maya, we are thinking, oh, I am now initiated, I am chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regulative principles means I am not in Maya anymore. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This thing called Maya is such a powerful material energy. And even in the second canto, you will see this mentioned again. How does Krishna say there the way it was spoken was Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit, the 4 verses, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. What does the second verse say? Hridayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda jalmani tadvidhyalatmano bhavam yadha bhaso yadha tama. Maya's definition is giving there. What is the definition of Maya? Definition of Maya is very good in this verse. It says, Hridayartham yat pradiyeda, that so many things in this creation, you are seeing this and you are feeling that this is all true, isn't it? Something which is not true has made you to think that it is true. Like these buildings, for example, the trees, the plants, the living entities, and different bodies, different material bodies, and the variety of things in this whole creation, you are willing to accept it as reality. Is it not? This material body, our own material body, as reality. And in order to, while here, while being in this world, For the whole life, we accept all this as reality and we spend our energy and time in keeping all this going, this whole creation going very well, isn't it? That is what is that first word. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda. On the other hand, na pradiyeda chalmani. That there is one thing behind all these things which is the truth. What is that? The soul. The Maya will never allow you to recognize the soul. It will always tell you, you are this body, you are this, your life is happiness in this world, look for happiness here. So this deep thing, which is so strongly injected into us, we are unable to come out of this perception, isn't it? We are unable to. You can read Srimad Bhagavatam day in and day out, and you are still not able to come out of this perception of this world, isn't it? Hridayartham yat pradiyeda. Then what does it do? Na pradiyeda chalpani. It won't tell you that the spirit is behind. The soul is the reality. All these things, what we see is not reality. It's temporary thing. It'll come and it'll go. And every time when this word Maya is spoken in the Bhagavatam, you should reflect on that word and what circumstance it's been spoken, who has spoken, and fix your own mind on that understanding. Otherwise, we will also be misled. There is no easy way to get out of Maya. We will sing, Kadyartham yad pradiyeda na pradiyeda jalmani tad yidhyay atmano bhavam yad abhasam yathatama. Through this vichevam rajas, we spoke about that, vichevam and avaranam, or rajas and tamas. Two things are the two agents of Maya, which is binding us. And we talked about vichevam and avaranam many times before, so I won't repeat that again. Just try to understand that Maya is a very, very, very powerful element in this world. And if Uddhava go to Kundi Devi's prayer, what did Kundi Devi say? Maya javanika channam atnyadokshayamam vyayam na lakshase mudadrisho nado natyadharo yadham. Kundi Devi says to Krishna. So if all those devotees like Kundi Devi, Akrura, Uddhava, and gopis and so many others saying they are in Maya, and we are saying we are not in Maya, what do you think about that? We are not even feeling we are in Maya. We think we are very well situated, isn't it? So this is the difficulty. This is the beauty of Maya. Maya can do these things with us. But because they were devotees of that degree, Uddhava and all that, they are admitting that they are in Maya. And Krishna's Maya is such that even Lord Balaram has fallen into it in some instances. When Krishna wants to apply that Maya on anyone, no one can do anything about it. Bhadi Maya Dhinatham Tattvam Bhaktyam Mahatyam Sadada Anubhajan Ishabhidim Vijakhyam. If you want to free yourself from Maya, there is only one way to completely offer yourself to Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. Then what will happen? Tattvam Bhaktyam Mahatyam. And then bhakti, with bhakti one surrenders to Krishna. Asadavane bhajani shabhidim vijahyam. Then he will get released from the influence of Maya. Otherwise it is not possible to free oneself from Maya. This has to be very clear in our head. So please never ask any question about Maya to anybody. It's the best thing to do. Always remember that we are in Maya. Never think that we are out of it. So many instances, when we first hear about Krishna consciousness, and after a few days of practicing Krishna consciousness, suddenly someone starts feeling that I am out of Maya. So, so they will feel that, oh, they want to declare this to the rest of the world, that they are not in Maya. So then they make statements like this. So what can you do? So that is that point, that it will be immature or foolish statement to think that he is not in Maya. Many, many great souls have come to this world and have fallen into this trap. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that whenever Krishna has applied that Maya, including Lord Shiva. You know the story, Mohini Murthy story, how even Lord Shiva later on admitted that how powerful Maya is. You'll see there in the Mohini Murthy's relationship with Krishna. But that is a different story, because there Krishna has wanted Lord Shiva to go through that for various reasons. That is, we had talked about it at that time when we discussed Bhagavatam. But here one thing is, ordinary conditioned souls has no other way to think except to accept that Maya is there all the time. in all circumstances. It is completely keeping us in this world. That's what is keeping us going in this world. So, Uddhava is admitting that. Uddhava is saying that. So from there, you can understand that as devotees also, we also have to think in that direction all the time. Therefore, and because we are under the influence of Maya, this tattva anjasa nigadidam, he says in the next verse, isn't it? This tattvam is very difficult to capture. That is what is causing the problem for us to understand Krishna, this Maya. That is tattva anjasa nigadidam. So therefore, Uddhava's request to Krishna is, instruct me in such a way that the Maya won't touch me and I will understand you, what you are saying. See how Uddhava puts it to him. Tattva anjasa nigadidam bhavata yadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anishadivrityam. Instruct this servant, me, Uddhava is saying, in such a way that I will not be tricked by Maya and I will understand the truth. I will understand the truth. That only if you instruct me in such a way, I will have that strength to practice this sacrifice what you have spoken before. You remember what Krishna said first? What did Krishna say? Tondu sarvam parityajasneham sojane bandushu mayaveshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. This was the first instruction, isn't it? Imagine that. Give up everything, all connection with this world. What's the first one? Sneham sojane bandushu. Then fix your mind completely upon me, mayaveshyamana. Do it in such a way that you will not fall off from that again. And then walk through this world freely. Very simple instruction, isn't it? To give. But Uddhava is saying that I have, after hearing this, I have understood that it's not possible for me to do it. And in order to do that, I am in the Maya. I am in the under influence of Maya. I cannot do it unless you help me to free myself from that. And saying this, Arjuna surrenders. Arjuna surrenders. Sorry, Uddhava surrenders. Arjuna also did exactly the same thing, isn't it? What did Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna? Karpanya dosha makhrita svabhava prichamitvam dharma samuda chedaham yashreyasam nishayin buhidanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prabhannam. The word used is prabhannam. Prabhannam means I surrender unto you. I am becoming your disciple. I am surrendering unto you. Surrendering unto you. Uddhava is also saying here, samsadhayami bhagavan anishadhi vrityam. Please instruct me, I surrender unto you. Why surrender is important? Why? This is a question here. You may approach a spiritual master with questions. He may instruct you everything about spirituality, about spiritual knowledge. All the realizations will be given to you. The knowledge will be given to you. But if that knowledge has to be realized, or in other words, if it has to become manifest in a person, Sharanagati is the primary requirement. Sharanagati is the primary requirement. Sharanagati brings anubhuti, they say. Anubhuti means, you heard from the spiritual master a lot of things. We'll come to detail about that later. But for the moment, if you understand, a disciple has come to spiritual master. Spiritual master has instructed him to do certain things and instructed him everything what is required for him to advance spiritually. But in order that advancement to materialize in his life and for him to realize it, Sharanagati is necessary. Sharanagati, you know what I'm saying, is complete surrender is necessary. Complete surrender is necessary. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in his time, he was hesitant to initiate those who were not willing to surrender. This was the first thing what he insisted. When I say all these things, it will cause some confusion in some people's mind. I am initiated, they'll say to me. But unfortunately, we have to speak what is in the Bhagavatam. When the surrender is not complete, the initiation is also not complete. This is the first thing. So therefore, it was only to facilitate for those who have surrendered that the temples were opened. Remember this also. The temples were opened for those who have surrendered to the process. And those who have not surrendered, those who want to live comfortably in their own life, in whichever way it is, and took initiation, you cannot expect that to happen because, as Uddhava says here, Arjuna has done in Bhagavad Gita, samsarayami anishadi vrityam, that in order that instructions what you have received from the spiritual master to manifest in a person, surrender is mandatory. It is mandatory. Because spiritual life is not something, if for our material body we are going to make so much sacrifice, isn't it? In the whole day we are working hard, earning money, checking our bank account, making sure mortgage is paid on time, and so much fascinating arrangements we have made in this world for our material bodily existence. If that is like that, how much sacrifice you have to make for your subtle body inside? Think about that. This is for the gross body you are doing all these things. But if so much you have to do for the gross body, the unknown entity inside the subtle body, how much you have to sacrifice for that? So, when we have a problem with the gross body, we go to a doctor, isn't it? And we beg to the doctor, if it is some serious issue, we'll say to the doctor, we'll give you anything you want, do something, whatever you can. Please help me somehow or the other, I'm in serious trouble. Or if somebody, say, got into an accident or some serious thing happened, serious illness, we took him to a nice, very highly qualified specialist. Let it be any disease. And the specialist had looked at him and things are a little bit uncertain. So all the relatives who had come with him, what will they say to the doctor? They'll say to the doctor, look, doctor, please help us somehow. We are in this difficult situation. We are going to stay whole night awake to look after the patient. We are willing to make an amount of money. Whatever the hospital tells you, you are ready with the check to sign and hand it over. Isn't it? So many things we do in life for the sake of material body. Similarly, when it comes to the spiritual body, you go to the spiritual master. The same problem what you are experiencing in the material body, when a similar crisis develops in the spiritual body, in your subtle body, that is when you go to the spiritual master. That's when you go to the spiritual master. So, spiritual life is not something that you can inject easily to someone like that. It doesn't work like that. There is a certain amount of background activities which has to happen within the mind of the disciple prior becoming serious about spiritual life. That we will discuss now from now on. But in these verses you can see Uddhava is referring to Krishna that Soham mamahamidi mudhamadir vikadaha. I am stupid. I am thinking about me and mine, and I am also in Maya. Typical us, isn't it? Typical all of us. Typical all of us. And Virajidalpani Sanubhande, Maya is completely binding us very tightly, and I am here trying to find a solution from you. Find a solution from you. It is in this instance, you have to see something here, that the how approaching a spiritual master is important. There are two things here. The first of all, we'll talk about the spiritual master's role. And then we'll talk about the disciple's role. These two things are important. Because if those are not there, this will not work. It will go on like this. I mean, for official reasons you can say, I'm guru, I'm disciple, all these things you can say. But spiritually, if it has to happen, these things has to follow. That's why it is said about this. The person who is coming to come to the spiritual life, he must have the first thing is the intense desire for liberation. We have talked about that before. The intense desire for liberation. That two things happen at that time. When one has that intense desire for liberation, when one has that in an intense desire for liberation, what will happen? Krishna will arrange that person to come in the form of Guru in front of him, to him. And that can appear in any form. That is very difficult to say, in which form he will appear to that person in order to... Because if we look back into the history also, okay, in the sampradaya system, in the parampara system, okay, the paramparas like the our Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara or Madhvacharya's parampara, Ramanujacharya's parampara, Shankaracharya's parampara. In the parampara there is a disciplic succession and a system they have built up. That does not mean that Krishna is only in these four parampara, nowhere else. There are other great personalities in this world who have also approached Krishna and realized Krishna without coming through parampara. That exists. There is nobody can deny that. Like, for example, Mirabai. Mirabai, she didn't belong to any parampara, but everyone recommends Mirabai's devotion. Is it not? And there are many others also like that. But why? For them also, they may not come in this particular parampara, but at some point in time, in their life also, that intensity was so strong of realization, the truth. Realizing the truth. So therefore, at that time, the jinyasa has come to such a degree that Krishna has arranged someone to instruct them in some form or the other. And that person who is instructing, he has to have some qualifications. Otherwise it will not work. That is what we are going to talk about. That what are they in the Upanishads and all, there are so many statements about him. He should be highly learned. He should be highly learned. Not only he should be highly learned, he should be highly realized as well. He should be highly realized as well. That if these two things, that is a symptom of the spiritual master, jnanam and anubhuti, these are the two things they are referring to. Jnanam means the knowledge of the Shastram. Should be so deep, the knowledge of the Shastram, and the realization of that knowledge should be also very high. Anubhuti should be there. Otherwise, he will not be able to transmit this realizations to the disciple. He will not be able to transmit the realization to the disciple. These are all the requirements. You see, a person who has reached that stage, the disciple, his approach is mentioned like this. Dhruvara samsara, he goes to the spiritual master and says to him, Swamin namaste nada loga bandho, karunya sindho padidam vahase bhavabdhe, mamudharatmiya kanaksha drishtya, vishyadi karunya mudhadi drishtya. Disciple is approaching the spiritual master and saying to him that, Swamin namaste nada loga bandho. Oh, this spiritual master is a friend of the whole world. And he's saying, oh, Logabandho. Logabandho means the friend of all the living entities. Swamin namaste. He pays his obeisances to him. Karunya sindho padidam bhavandho. Karunya sindho, oh, ocean of mercy. I have fallen into this ocean of material life, material cycle of birth and death. I don't know how to escape from that. So, please protect me. That is what he is saying. At that point, the spiritual master's role is mentioned here. What is that? Shrotriyo avrajino akamadoyo brahmavitvaha brahmanyubaradashando nirindhanayivanala ahaitukadaya sindhu vendhuralpalpanam sadam. These are the qualifications of the spiritual master. What are they? First one, Shrotriyam. Shrotriya means one who has heard very well. One who has heard all the Vedic literature very well. He must have heard it very well. Not only he has heard it very well. Avrajino, he should be free from all sinful activities. He should be free from all sinful activities. Sinless, in other words. That is necessary for him to be. Avrajino. Then what else? Akamaha. He should have no desire in this world. Only then he can accept a disciple. Because if a guru is such a person, akama, shrotriyaha, avrajinaha, akamaha, Akamaha means that he has no desire. If a spiritual master is instructing a disciple, thinking that I am going to get something out of him, then he is not a spiritual master. That is the beauty of that relationship. A spiritual master, if he is expecting something from a disciple, that he wants something from him, in that case he is not a spiritual master. This is the unwritten but confirmed instruction from the great authorities in the Vedic tradition. Akamaha. They have no desire to anything, to get anything from that person. Only then a disciple should approach a person like that. Akamaha. Then akamahato mayo brahmavitamaha. Brahmavitama. He is fully realized. This is the beauty. He is fully realized. How do you know? Brahman uparadaha. Because he is always situated in the absolute truth. See the requirement of a spiritual master. Brahman uparadaha shandho nirindhana ivanalam. Shandham. Shandha means he is situated in the Brahman in such a way that he is completely peaceful. In other words, what does it mean? What it means, although he is existing in a material body in this world, he doesn't exist in this world. He doesn't exist in this world. You will ask the question, how can that be? Isn't it? How can that happen? It can happen. Only when it happens, you will know it, how that happens. That he will be existing in this world, in this material body, but he doesn't exist here. In other words, he is so realized, completely freed from all bodily attachments, that nothing will disturb him. Therefore, he is shandaha. He is completely shandam. How? Nirindhana ivanala. That is a beautiful way of presenting it. Nirindhana ivanala. Nirindhana ivanala means, you know, at home you have this gas connection. Say you are taking it from a cylinder instead of from the mains. So, the cylinder, gas cylinder is supplying the gas to the cooker, gas cooker. You are cooking the gas. You are cooking using the gas from a gas cylinder. So, you have got the the oven switches, which you can put, the cooker switches, which you can put on and bring flame to each of the different the flames, isn't it? The flame comes out if you put it on. Then you also got another connection at the cylinder, which you can close if you want. The cylinder you can close. So, say you are cooking from the gas cylinder, what will you do? If you are leaving home, if you are frightened about any leakage or anything, you will switch off all the connections on the cooker, and then you can also switch off the gas cylinder as well. Then you can make sure, guarantee that no gas will leak anywhere. But suppose the gas cylinder is empty. Then what happens? Then there is no gas, any chances of leakage, isn't it? So here it says, nirindhana ivanala, there is no chance of any fire if the cylinder is empty. Similarly, if the person, the spiritual master, if he has no material desires or no vasanas inside, then he is situated properly. Nirindhana ivanala, that is the definition for the spiritual master. That inside, no desires for anything. Neither name, fame, followers, money, women. All these kinds of material desires is 100% gone from him. 100% has to go from him. Then he is a spiritual master. Otherwise not. So, important thing is that Shrotriyo, Avrajino, Akamahato, Yo, Brahmavitamaha, Brahman Yubaradaha Shandaha Nirindhana Ivanalam Ahaituka Dayasindhu. Not only that, what is he like? He is so magnanimous to anyone and everyone who comes to him. Bandhu Anamatam Satam. Suppose you go and pay your obeisances to him, he will accept you straight away. And he will also take you to the spiritual life, in that guide you in the spiritual life. Bandhu Anamatam Satam. Haiduka Dayasindhu. He has any desire inside. Therefore, he is like an empty cylinder. Nirindhana Ivanala. And what else? Haituka Dayasindhu. He is so magnanimous and merciful to others. Whoever comes to him, Haituka Dayasindhu, Vendur Anamana Sadam, Vendur Anamadam Sadam, that he will accept anyone. No consideration at all. Everyone is welcome. His mood is, nobody is invited, but everyone is welcome. That's his mood. Nobody is invited, but everyone is welcome. That's how he is. So you can imagine that the heart of a spiritual master, it is in this state of consciousness, what has been spoken. Such a person can take that role and instruct others. Such a person can take that role and instruct others. Therefore, all these conditions are put on. Conditions are put on. In the modern world, if there is one thing, there is no shortage, is this thing. But the only difficulty is that most of them don't come up to the standard what Krishna has spoken. That's where the difficulty is. And that's why we find so much difficulty in our spiritual life also. That the that if we have understood what Krishna has spoken, and with proper reflection and understanding, if we do things, then these things will not go wrong. But unfortunately, in the modern world, things are different. So therefore, it is said, like, we have to know these things. And without knowing, if we continuously analyze, do things, without, and then trying to adjust those things to Krishna's words, it will not work. You have to take Krishna's words and match those things with Krishna's instructions. Only then it will work out. But generally, our tendency is that we do everything first, and then we go and verify in Bhagavatam whether it is all correct or not. Is it not? That's what most of the people does. They do everything, and then they come to Bhagavatam and check out, is everything correctly what I have done? But that's not the process. Process is study Srimad Bhagavatam first. Understand from Bhagavatam what is expected from a guru, from a disciple. And then act after that. Then it will work. So, therefore, Ekadasha Skandam, Bhagavad Gita is all for this purpose, given to us, in order to study these things. And if we don't study them, we will not understand it. Krishna consciousness, this process of self-realization, this has been established by Krishna, and it has survived through in this world for 5,000 years, at least, even though it existed even before that. How did it survive? Because the standards were very high. The standards were very high. And those standards must be maintained. And those who maintained, they succeeded in the results also. Those who didn't maintain, they fell through. And nothing can help us in this. Because spiritual life is not something where you can use any duplicity there. Nothing will work there. The standard is already set by Krishna. So here Krishna says, Shotriyor avrajino akamahadoya brahma vitamaha brahman nivardashando nirindhana ivanala ahaiduka dayasindhu ahaiduka dayasindhu. He is so merciful, ahaidukam, and he does not expect anything. Dayasindhu is the ocean of mercy. Bandhu anamadam sadam, then one whoever approaches him, he is protected by him. That is his special quality. Ahaiduka Dayasindhu. Ahaiduka Dayasindhu. Why is Ahaiduka Dayasindhu is spoken is that no vasanas are left inside him. You see, a person who has got vasanas, he tend to act in the wrong way sometime, isn't it? In our history, you know very well that sometimes people without any understanding, they take the role of these things, guru, and this, that and the other. And then what happens? He says that I am the guru, I am this, I am that, and people take initiations and all that. Neither the guru understood his role, nor the disciple understood his role either. So both of them made the contract. And suddenly one fine morning, you see that the guru has gone with a lot of money, big check in his hand. And everyone is stunned by this. How could he do that? They are saying this. Because it has repeated in the history so many times, not only now, in many, many times this has happened. Why? Because vasanas have not gone from inside. Vasanas have not gone from inside. The vasanas are still there. അഹൈതുക ദയാസിന്ധു, നിരന്ധന യുവാനല, ഓൾ ദീസ് വേർഡ്സ് ആർ വൈ ദേ വർ സ്പോക്കൺ. വൈ ദീസ് വേർഡ്സ് ആർ സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് എ ഗുരു? ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ നോട്ട് ദേർ, ഹി വിൽ ഫോൾ വൺ ഡേ, ആൻഡ് ഹി വിൽ ഫോൾ ആൻഡ് ഹി വിൽ മേക്ക് അതേഴ്സ് ഓൾസോ ഫോൾ. ഹി വിൽ ഡ്രാഗ് ദ ഹോൾ തിങ് ഇൻ ടു ഡിസ്റെപ്യൂട്ടേഷൻ ഓർ ബാഡ് റെപ്യൂട്ടേഷൻ വിൽ കം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഫോർ എവറിബഡി ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ലൂസ് ദി ഫെയ്ത്ത്. Actually, Guru is only one. And the disciple, if he has taken properly the shelter, then this will not happen. If the relationship is proper, neither the Guru will fall, nor the disciple will fall. Nor the disciple will fall. So, sometimes it happens. Once a person said this. This happened in Rishikesh. He was saying that I had taken initiation from a Guru. And after some time, he has fallen. So I took initiation from another guru, he says. Then, unfortunately for him, that guru also fell. So he went and took initiation from another one, third one. Like these two, three, four, he has taken initiation from four different gurus at four different times. So he comes back and says that, look, I have taken initiation from so many different gurus. But it has happened like this to me all the time. So, the person who was guiding him told him at that time, look, my dear friend, you have not taken initiation from a guru. You are taking initiation from different individuals. You have gone to one individual, then you went to another individual, you went to a third individual, you went to a fourth individual. They were all individuals you are taking initiation from. But that is not what we are talking about here. That's not what we are talking about here. Strictly speaking, once properly initiated from a spiritual master, and once there is no question of disciple not realizing the truth at some point, it has to come. And that can only happen if that relationship has been built in the proper way. Actually, he was not going from one guru to another. Actually, he was going from one individual to another individual. One individual to another individual. So you can see the fact that his guru has fallen shows that the first time itself the relationship was not proper. The fact that he has gone to a second guru also shows that he has still not understood what he is doing. The fact that he has gone to a third one also shows that the understanding is very poor from his side. And we know throughout history how many times this has repeated. If it is proper initiation and proper instruction is given from a guru to a spiritual master to a disciple, that is a relationship is, it will only finish when that realization is complete. Up to that point, it goes with him. That spiritual master remains there. Spiritual master never thinks of him as a disciple. Disciple thinks him as a spiritual master. That is the difference. Spiritual master is seeing him as Krishna's part and parcel and instructing him. Why? He is situated in that level. Disciple is seeing him as a separate body, a separate entity from Krishna, because his realizations has not come to that level. He is still in the lower level. So disciple will see him as spiritual master. Spiritual master will not see him, oh, he is my disciple or he is my servant. I have to collect so much dakshina from him every year. That is not the spiritual master disciple Krishna is talking about here. Samsadhayami Bhagavan Anushadhibratyam. Then, because if a person is realized like that, and he has taken the role of a spiritual master, how does he live in this world? He live in an ordinary way, but at the same time, he will not break any of the etiquettes of this world. Does not mean that, oh, now I'm realized that I can go and watch the cinema all the time or go and eat in any hotel or restaurant. He won't do such a thing. He will, because he has vasanas have completely gone away from inside, all that what he does will be perfect. Will be perfect. And therefore, whatever he does will be beneficial to the whole world. And that is the most important point. Then, an example is given like this. Some people, when they take sweet rice, they come for a feast, they take sweet rice. After that, they go and wash their hands, and they'll come wash and dry their hands, and they will sit quietly. it will appear as though they have not even taken the sweet rice. Have you noticed that? Some people do like that. So they can act like that. You don't even know that they have taken sweet rice. But some others, they will eat sweet rice and they'll tell everyone, come, there is so much sweet rice left. Come and enjoy sweet rice. So there are two kinds of people all the time, isn't it? This first one is spoken only to show the beauty of the certain people. But these guru, whom we are referring to here, are like the second category. They are already enjoying the spiritually realized state. They are already enjoying it. And they are inviting others also, come and enjoy this realized state of consciousness, what they are enjoying. That's how they are. They will be interacting with these, their disciples or their shishyas in that way, that they will be automatically forced to come and relish that happiness, what they are deriving from him. Not only that, whoever has come to him to realize the truth and approached him in that mood, Haiduka Daya Sindhu, he is so magnanimous and so merciful to him, he will provide him everything what is, he will make sure that this disciple has get to that point of realization, self-realization. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the guru's role. Guru's role. It is a very, very important role. Shotriyo avrujino akamahadoya brahma vitamaha brahman nivaradashando nirindhanaiva anala ahaitukadaya sindhu benduralmanamatam sadam. That he is a friend of everyone. Because when the disciple is approaching him, what does he think? He's saying like this. Durva, you remember this word? Samsara dhavan analidha loga tranaya karunya gunakhanatvam. What does it mean? Samsara dhavan analidha loga. Samsara means material existence. I'll come to this material existence later, but for the moment, if you understand, samsara means material existence. In other words, already the disciple has got to the state of consciousness that he is experiencing the distress of this material world to a very, very high degree. And from that distress, he has come to certain conclusions. He has come to certain conclusions. All these things must happen before approaching a spiritual master. That's the most important thing. Samsara dhavan analidha loka. Dhavanalan. Dhavanalan means forest fire. That forest fire, he should know that this world is like a forest fire. Do we feel like that? This world is like a forest fire? We think this is the best place to establish ourselves, isn't it? If somebody tells us that this world is like a forest fire, we say that's just a poetic exaggeration. This world is not like a forest fire. Who says this world is like a forest fire? Everything is so comfortable, well organized, everything provided, and best place for life in this planet is so good. And now we are exploring other planets where else it is good, like here, isn't it? So this is not spiritual life. You are not ready for spiritual life. That's what it means. Shastram is saying that even this realization has not come to you. Which one? Samsara dhavan analidhalo. Every morning we are singing this song with all the drums and with all the mridanga, everything. But if you say, have you realized this samsara dhavan analidhalo? No. That I am singing for spiritual master, I am singing this. Not for me. I am for that, for him to hear, I am singing this. This is what we are doing, aren't we? Samsara dhavan analidhalo. What dhavanala for us? For us, it's the greatest place of pleasure. So, about Lord Buddha, if you know this story about Lord Buddha, probably you heard about this. Lord Buddha has got two names, special names. What are they? One is called Bhavabhiru. Bhavabhiru. Bhavabhiru means, he got, Bhava means to take birth again and again, repeated birth and death. So, when Lord Buddha left his home, palace, and came out, he saw two things, people getting old, and people getting sick and dying. When he saw this, Buddha thought, this is not the place I want to be. This was Buddha's first realization. Lord Buddha, in many ways, many things what Lord Buddha has spoken is same from the Vedic philosophy, nothing different. The only difficulty is Lord Buddha is he rejected Vedic philosophy for various reasons, that we'll see later. But otherwise Lord Buddha said, he is called Bhavabhiru. He was so frightened of this world. And he has got another name, he's called Shakya Simham. Shakya Simha means Shakya race he comes from, he is a Simham, he is a lion as well. On the one hand he is called Bhavabhiru, and the other side he is called Shakya Simham. Both fits in with Buddha. Why? On the one side the courage he has shown is like the real lion of Shakya family, Shakya race. Of that courage to break away from home and walk away to the forest for realization. That nobody else has shown like the way Lord Buddha has shown. So he is called Shakya Simham. On the other hand, the fear of this material world, what he has realized in one day like that and walked out from home, leaving his wife and son and family, everything, and walked out to the forest to realize the truth. That is, he is called Bhavabhiru and Shakya Simham. And this, one day, one disciple was hearing from Lord Buddha. One of Lord Buddha's disciples was hearing from him. Lord Buddha says to him, you have to realize that the house is on fire. It's a famous story. Probably some of you may have heard about this. House is on fire. He says to him that the house is on fire. So only in that case you can then when the house is on fire, what do you do? What do you do? You want to escape from there, isn't it? Somehow or the other, you want to escape from there. So the disciple was hearing that, says to him that when I realize that the house is on fire, but then which is the best way to escape? Through the window or through the door or through the roof? He asked this question. You know what Buddha replied? Buddha replied, if you have realized the house is on fire, you won't ask this question, he said. Will you ask this question? When the whole house is on fire, whether I should escape through the door or through the window or through the roof? You won't ask that question even, would you? You won't even ask that question. Buddha straight away cut him off there. He said, you are simply talking nonsense. You are not realizing anything that the house is on fire. Because if the house is on fire, you won't even ask that question. And we are all like that disciple here, sitting here, comfortably, thinking that house is not on fire. And we are singing this verse, samsara dhavana nalitha loga tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. So, where is our understanding? And it's the same thing here. The disciple is going to the spiritual master and saying to him, durvara samsara dhavagni taptam, I am burning from the material existence in this world. From the existence in this world, I'm just burning. We'll come to that, how to get burned. We'll talk later. First let's, because everything has to be spoken, otherwise it will not work. Even after speaking, still we will think, is this all true? That's our state of mind. What can we do? So, durvara samsara davagni taptam, and then, doghuyamanam duradrishtavadehi. Outside, this is burning. What? The material existence is burning us. Inside, there is a very powerful current of vasanas coming in the form of different desires it is manifesting in me. He's saying like this. So, inside also burning, outside is also burning. Outside it is burning due to the material world, material existence, and the cycle of birth and death. Inside I am burning because of the material desires in the form of different vasanas. Doghuyamanam duradrishtavandam vadehi bhidam prapannam paribahimrityoho. I am frightened, the disciple is saying to the guru. I am frightened. Please protect me. Please protect me. How many of us have told our spiritual master, I am frightened? How many? I am frightened. How many of us have approached in that way? Bhidam prapannam. Not only frightened, I am completely surrendered unto you. See the mood of the disciple at that time. These are important things. The mood is more important than all the external things. Whether you have got shikha, long shikha or short shikha, or whether you have got neck beads. These are secondary things. Or whether you have been initiated in front of the deity, outside the deity room. They are not important. Important things are these. Bhidam prapannam paribahimrityoham. I am frightened of this material world. I am frightened of death. Paribahimrityoham. I am frightened of death. Please protect me. Sharanyam anyadyadaham najane. I have no one else to turn to except you. I have no one else to Sharanyam Adhyakshan Aham Dajani Najani. I do not know anyone else to approach except you. This is how one should approach the spiritual master. That it is then that one understands the seriousness. If somebody has approached in that mood, that is, he is a disciple. Otherwise, it all becomes very wishy-washy later. So therefore it says, Dhruvara samsara dava agni taptam, doghuyamanam duradrishtavadehi, bidam pravannam paribahimrutyoho, sharanyam anyadhyadaham najani. I do not know anyone else to whom to go to. That is the situation with the disciple. At that time, what does the spiritual master says to him? Ma bhaishtaha. Please don't get frightened. Please don't get frightened. And who can speak that? Only a spiritual master who has reached that state of realization. That's why you can see, while talking about spiritual master also, if he is not in that position to comfort the disciple, Ma bhaishtaha. Vidvam stavanasya vayaha. Ma bhaishta vidvam stavanasya vayaha. Samsara sindhur saranes yubayaha. He says to him, please don't worry about it, because there are ways of getting out of this situation and getting free yourself from this fear. I will tell you the secret of how you can get over this issue. How? Samsara sindhor taranot upayaha. I will give you the technique, not that I have manufactured it. I didn't manufacture the technique. He is saying, samsara sindhor taranot upayaha. But this upayam, this technique has been, ena eva yado yadayosya bharam. In the previous times, great sages have found out the method and the process. Tameva margam tava nirdishami. That process I will teach you. That process I will teach you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be frightened about anything. And I will protect you. This is how the spiritual master will answer that disciple. So you can see the situation with the disciple, what level of realizations he has to come to. And you also see the situation of the spiritual master, what level of realization he has to be. If both are in that situation, that is exactly what you are seeing here with Uddhava. What is Uddhava saying here? Nurvinnathi paramamo vrajinavadapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhyem. See how Uddhava surrenders to Krishna. Nurvinnathi ahamoha vrajinavadapto. In the next verse you will see. Nurvinnathi. Nurvinna means that I have no attachment to anything in this world. Finished with everything in this world. That is what is expected from a disciple. You see? Nurvinnadhi ahamuha vrajinabhidatto narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhyem. Narayanam is Krishna. Narasakham. This is where the spiritual master comes in. Narasakham. Narasakham means, if you remember, Narayana, Nara incarnation earlier, Narayana comes as Narasakha at that point. He is the friend. See, where does the spiritual master come from? Spiritual master you are bringing from inside. From inside. When the desire inside is intense, when after deliberations of the material world, material life, everything, when you come to this strong desire or intense realization that material life is a place of misery and you want to escape from here, go back to the spiritual world and realize the truth, self-realization. When that intense desire comes, and all your activities are set up in that way, at that point, inside Krishna, who is situated inside a super soul, he will know this person is ready for receiving the spiritual master. At that point, Guru will appear in front of the spiritual disciple in a way that will come to him and instruct him properly. That is, and that Guru who comes in that way will be properly able to instruct him. Because the spiritual master has come from Krishna's arrangement from inside, disciple has also come to the platform of ready for receiving instructions. Ready for receiving instructions. And when both of them have instructed and understood, the fire has to be there. This is the answer. The fire has to happen. many of us always think, oh, whether my initiation is correct or not, maybe the chanting was not proper, I didn't chant properly. The reason is this, that the connection was not proper. Because there is a story about this. You heard about this thing called Sparshamani. Sparshamani is nothing. Chintamani they call it also. It's called this touchstone, isn't it? Touchstone is like this. Touchstone, if you bring any metal to the touchstone and touch it, it will turn into gold. This is the quality of the touchstone. So, the Acharya says about this, if you have brought something else apart from the metal and touch the touchstone, it won't turn into gold. Similarly, if the disciple is proper, if the guru is proper, if they come together, the self-realization has to be there. Realization must happen to that person. At some point it will happen. It has to happen. If it doesn't happen, what it means is, either the spiritual master is not the proper spiritual master, or the disciple is not the proper disciple, or neither the meeting has not happened. Meeting has not happened between the two. Just like, either it is not a touchstone, or it is not a metal, or neither the metal and the touchstone has not come into contact. In three things. Only these three options there. So, Shastram is very clear about these things. Shastram, there is no problem. Problem is what we do in this world. That's where all the problem happens. Problem comes from there. We will not accept what Krishna says. We will completely ignore everything. We set up our own systems and actions. Then we want the result from that. When the result is not coming, we blame everybody else for that. So Krishna is saying here, Uddhava and Krishna, if you just study Uddhava and Krishna's relationship, immediately you can understand what is expected from us and what is expected from the spiritual master. Nirvinnathi ahamuha vrajinabhidapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhyem. See, when Uddhava has come to this state of mind, when Uddhava was completely ready for it, he is surrendering to Krishna. I need it from you. Narasakam sharanam prabadhye. I completely surrender unto you. Uddhava had 115 years to surrender. He didn't surrender. Why now? Why now? Because now Uddhava understood. The process is like this. When he heard from Krishna the first few verses, Uddhava understood. Friendship is all right. Last 115 years he was my friend. Krishna was also looking after Uddhava nicely. But in order to realize the tattva jityasa to come, you have to surrender to Krishna. There is no other way. There is no other way. So that is why, when it came to tattva jityasa, Uddhava said, I have no other choice except to surrender. Except to surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means surrender to the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, who has all these qualifications which I mentioned before. Krishna says that spiritual master is not different from me. Jnani tvalpaiva me matam. Udara sarvamevede jnani tvalpaiva me matam. He has got all the qualifications like me, and that qualifications we have spoken before. If those qualifications are not there in the guru, or if they are not there in the disciple, it is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. It will be a long haul. Something may happen, but the desired result of self-realization may not happen. So that is why it is such an important thing. How can we ignore this in spiritual life? How can we take it lightly? It is such an important step in spiritual life. This process of accepting and surrendering to the spiritual master. Otherwise it will not work. This is the simple truth. So here, if you look into the words Uddhava has spoken here, you will see there, Krishna is saying here that tasmad bhavandam anavadyam the words before. Satyasya te sudrusham alpanam alpanonyam vaktaram isha vipadesha vinanujakshay sarve vimohida dhiyasthava maya esha brahmadayastanibrado bahirartha bhavaha. That satyasya te sudrusham alpanam alpanonyam. Then, that Atmanam Atmanonyam. Then Uddhava is saying to Krishna, in order to instruct this truth to me, there is no one else except you who can do it. Imagine, try to understand Uddhava's understanding, Uddhava's realization. He says, except you, he is not qualified anyone to instruct this. Why he is saying that is, he says, Brahma Vaktaravisha Brahmadayas Anubhruto Bahirartha Bhavaha. Starting from Lord Brahma onwards, Brahmadaya Anubhruto Bahirartha Bhava. Even others are even bewildered by your Maya. Can you imagine? That means real spiritual master is not bewildered by any Maya. You see, Brahmadaya Anubhruto Bahirartha Bhava. Even others who are, including Lord Brahma onwards, even they are not qualified to instruct me on this tattvam. Tattvanjasa nigadida, he says. So from there, you can see Uddhava is now saying from a disciple's position. He says, only you are qualified to tell me this because others have not, even others are under the victim of victimized by Maya. What to talk about, anyone else? Even Brahma gets affected by it. So even he is not qualified, he says. So, Bahirartha Bhavaham Sarve Vimohita Dhiya. Everyone is under the clutches of Maya. Vimohita Dhiya. Their mind is all controlled by Maya Yesha, your Maya. So, Brahma Adayasya Nibhrido Bahirartha Bhavaham. So, you can see that unless a disciple has thought through these things in depth, and he has understood that it is not a simple thing to go to a spiritual master and take initiation from him without properly, deeply analyzing these issues. What Uddhava has spoken to Arjuna, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, Uddhava, and Uddhava's state of consciousness is important. How important it is to gear up oneself and come to that state of consciousness before he looks for one to surrender to. It's not a simple thing. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we talk about all these things, people may feel that, these things I may not have known before, or I may not have taken it in that way. But that doesn't matter, because at least now you know what it is. That Brahmadaya Sthanivado Bhiravta Bhava, Uddhava is only talking to us. Krishna is talking to us through Uddhava. That Uddhava has elevated himself to that position, and before coming to this situation, by cultivating Krishna consciousness in a purified way, he purified himself to such a high level that he was able to speak in that way. That is why he is saying in the next verse, you will see, Tasmad, therefore, Bhavandam Anavadyam Anandabaram Sarvajnyam Ishwaram Akundam Vikundadishnyam Nurvannadhi Ahamuha Vrajinabhidaptaho Narayanam Narasakam Sharanam Prabhadim. Narayanam Narasakam Sharanam Prabhadim. He says to Krishna, therefore, Bhavandam Anavadyam Anandabaram. Anavadyam means one who has no faults. Anandabaram, one who is not controlled by time, space and circumstances. And Sarvajnan, one who knows everything. And Ishwara, Sarvashakta, or completely powerful, fully controller. Akunda Vigunda Deshnim, that his situation is like this. Akunda Vigunda Deshnim, that he lives in Vaikuntha, who is not touched by time or any other material things, not touched by Vaikuntha Lokam, he lives there. And Narasakham, and who comes to this world, and who is present within everyone as his close friend, inside the heart, as super soul. Narayanam Narasakham, to that person, I am paying my obeisances, Sharanam Prabhadye, I pay my obeisances to him. This is how Uddhava is, when Uddhava spoke this, Krishna also could understand that Uddhava has understood what he is talking about. Uddhava has understood what he is talking about. Narayanam Narasakham, Sharanam Prabhadye. Then same thing Krishna, Arjuna also said, isn't it? Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. When Arjuna got confused, of course, in Arjuna's case a little different. Arjuna's case was such that Arjuna crisis was whether to fight the war or not. That has to be sorted first. So Krishna, whatever Krishna has spoken is from that perspective, to a lot of it. And whereas when it comes to Uddhava, there is no crisis like that. Uddhava's situation is that, analyzed the material world completely, understood everything, ready to leave this world. The situation came that he has to leave Krishna. At that time, Arjuna, Krishna, Uddhava is requesting Krishna to instruct him. And Krishna started instructions. Uddhava understood immediately, this is not a very small issue, it's a much bigger issue. Therefore, he immediately says to Krishna, Nirvinnadhi ahamuha vrajinabhi tapto Narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhye. Narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhye. So, why is it called narasakha? Because that word used is important. When a person is ready for spiritual realization, immediately Krishna is also ready. Krishna is also ready. The reason why we are not getting any feedback from Krishna is we are not ready. That's why it is. That's why, you see, Vedavyasa doesn't mince the words. He knows which word has to go when. Narayanam narasakham, he says. Why is called narasakham? Because he is there ready to help you when you are ready. So first we have to be ready. And getting ourselves ready is the first thing in spiritual life. Before we are inquiring about the Guru. Getting ourselves ready for it. Not by going for a course or seminar. You are not going to be ready by that. But you have to get yourself ready inside. In the modern world, so many funny things happen. And when you start looking through all that, all you can do is to keep your mouth shut. But that's also difficult when you see those things, mouth will open. Because it is wrong that when you don't understand, that when you don't realize that Krishna has set some standard in all these things, it's not a joke. These things are not a joke. People give their life for self-realization. Can it be such a cheap thing which you can do it in a 20-pound course? It's not possible. Is there anything more stupid than that? How are we misleading others in this way? What is the point? Narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadye. That is the bottom line. That's the bottom line. If you want to realize Krishna, if you want to go back to Krishna, if you want to have the spiritual truth manifested and to realize oneself what one is, Krishna is saying, this is the process. Uddhava's process is there. So, Narayanam Marasakam Sharanam Prabhadyam Tasmad Bhavandam Anavadyam Anandavaram Sarvajnyam Isharam Akundavikundadishnim Nirvinnadhi Ahamuha Vrajina Abhidapto Narayanam Marasakam Sharanam Prabhadyam. Therefore, we will stop there saying this, Uddhava is surrendering to Krishna. Now, in these last four or five verses, you have seen how Uddhava is surrendering to Krishna. And in reply to that, Krishna will start now his proper instructions from next Sunday. So, till then, keep reading Bhagavatam. Please don't leave the book at home. Please read Srimad Bhagavatam. At least spend an hour or two every day if you can to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, what will happen is, see, the difficulty is this, that when you don't read Bhagavatam daily, many, many things what Uddhava is now discussing with Krishna, you will not understand. And then you will start asking questions. What is Maya? What is my identity? Am I this? Am I that? And what is this gunam and dosham? Is it proper to see these things? When we say from Canto 11, all these things, Krishna is, you know, Bhagavatam has another name called Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsa Samhita. It is called the book of the Paramahamsas. Only Paramahamsas understand Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So, when we are not Paramahamsas, forget about Paramahamsas and all, but at least we should give some time for Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, how do we understand? Because so many things what goes through Ekadasha Skandam, when you want to understand, the first 10 cantos must be properly understood. Otherwise, you will ask questions about what is discussed in the first canto. When you hear Ekadasham and if you start asking questions from Ekadasham, questions what we are already discussed in first canto, then it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult to answer those questions. I just have to ignore it. We have to ignore it. We can't help it. Because the person has not given any time for it. He hasn't had any time to read Srimad Bhagavatam. He has no time. He is busy with all other things. Why? In his own mind, he has given importance to all the other things in this world. Remember I mentioned this before. Why somebody is willing to work hard, go to America, go to Gulf to make money, millions of dollars, working day and night, 24 hours he is willing to work hard to make money. He is not feeling tired. As soon as you hand over a beats bag to him and tell him to chant, in 5 minutes he starts falling into sleep. Why is that? Why is it happening? Or if you give him Srimad Bhagavatam and tell him to read, I'm feeling tired. I can't understand feeling tired. The same person, when he went somewhere else to make money, because inside, already he has made the decision very clearly that his goal is to make money. Somewhere unconsciously that decision is existing there. Krishna says that this is the whole problem. That where you have made that decision, if you take it away and put spiritual life there, then all this Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, everything will become much easier. Otherwise it will not. This is where all the... We'll come to that later a little bit more in detail. Because what I'm saying this is that if you don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, I'll go and listen to Bhagavatam a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon. Let's see what he has got to say. And you hear in that mood, as soon as you leave that door outside, shh, gone all from inside. It will not have any impact on a person. So therefore, important thing to read continuously Srimad Bhagavatam. Why this great literature Vedavyasa Maharshi has given to us? Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sukadeva Goswami and so many great souls have declared the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam, so that people like us who have some interest in, little bit of interest in spiritual life, let them get benefited. That's the only reason. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue next Sunday. Hare Krishna. Yeah.